All right. How many of you guys sitting here tonight would say that discerning the will of God, figuring out what God's will for your life is a complex and complicated issue in your life? That you go, gosh, I wish that was simple, but man, that is not easy. I mean, just raise your hand if you go, that's a fairly complex deal for me. Okay. Most of the hands went up in the room, and probably the ones that didn't either have figured something brilliant out or you just didn't raise your hand. I got news for you tonight, and I hope it's good news. Discerning the will of God is not a complex or complicated issue at all. It is incredibly simple, and it is in something that is so simple and so clear scripturally on how to discern the will of God that it is something you can walk out of these doors with tonight. And when you walk here and you leave here, you will be able to put into practice these things and know exactly how to discern the will of God. Isn't that pretty cool? I can tell you this, though. It is not easy to discern the will of God. And I don't mean easy as in complex. I mean that to discern the will of God is going to require for you an entire surrender of yourself completely and totally to God. I was outside this morning talking with somebody, and I said to them, I'm doing a topic on discerning the will of God. And there was three of us in the circle, and one of the people said, oh, that I can't wait to go. And the other person said, are you sure you want to go to that? Because once you know how to discern the will of God, you're going to actually have to put it into practice and do it. And doing what God wants you to do and discerning what God wants you to do are two whole different topics, aren't they? And discerning the will of God is as much about doing what God wants as it is about knowing what He wants to do. Because anybody can know what God wants to do. That's the simple part of the equation. And I'll show you exactly tonight how you can know what God wants you to do. But to actually do what God wants you to do is not in any way easy. And if you want to know the will of God, you have to decide up front that you are willing to live your life surrendered to that will and surrendered to the God who gives us that will. Now, in order to jump into the will of God, the best place to start in Scripture is where Scripture tells us exactly how we can know, how we can test and approve God's will. You know that there is actually a verse in the Scriptures that literally says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't that pretty cool? That the Bible actually has a place where God says, then you will know exactly how to test and approve my will. It comes out of the book of Romans, and we're going to turn there today. Grab a Bible, if you would. If you don't have a Bible with you, under the chairs is a bunch of Bibles. Grab one of those. And if you don't have a good Bible at home, folks, you know how the drill works here. You grab one of our Bibles, one of the newer ones that looks nice. You put your name in it, and you take it home with you. You keep it for yourself. We're going to go to the book of Romans, and we're going to go to chapter 12 in the book of Romans. And this is where we launch into the process of discerning, of knowing what God's will is. It's on page 788 of our Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, page 788 of our Bibles. This is what it says, and I want you to listen to these words carefully. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. There it is. I mean, there it is. You want to talk about simplicity? Here is simplicity. You want to know how to test and approve what God's will is? How to discern the will of God? Well, it's very simple. In view of God's mercy, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Boom, done. I could close the message right now and we could go home. Of course, the practicalities of that is what we want to talk about, but that really is the answer to discerning God's will. So let's unpack that little bit tonight, and let's see how this practically plays out as the rest of Scripture comes and unfolds into this particular Scripture and shows us what we need to do. Now, before we jump in, I want to explain something about God's will to you real quick, because you need to understand the foundation here in order to understand how to discern God's personal will for your life. See, most of us, when we say, I want to know what God's will is, we are talking about the will that God has for you personally, the personal will of God for your personal life. What should I do in this situation? How should I react here? What school should I go to? Who should I marry? All of these questions that deal with what God wants for me. That's where we usually find the complexities of trying to discern God's will. There's something we want to do or something we have the option to do, and we want to figure out, does God want me to do it or not? Or which one of the following options does God want? But before we ever get to the personal will of God for your life, His story that He is unfolding in you, there are two other things that you have to take into consideration that if they're not in place, you will never get to that part of God's will for your life. The first thing is God's moral will for the world, okay? This is the structure of morality that God has put into place that applies to humanity as a whole. It applies to every single one of us. None of us are exempt from it. None of us get to excuse ourselves from the structure that God put in place that is the morality, the commands, the yes and no's that He has placed in His Word and said, this is my moral will for the world. These are the pool fences that God has put into place around our lives to say, I will protect you from putting yourself in situations that will lead to death and destruction. I am going to tell you exactly what you need to do in order to live a life of freedom. God's moral will is a starting point, and every one of those issues are found right here in His Word. This is where God tells us what we should be doing to follow His commands, and what we shouldn't be doing to break the commands He's laid out. You do not need to ask God whether it is His will for your life that you go into a 7-Eleven and steal something from the shelf and leave. That is not God's will for your life. It will never be God's will for your life, because He's already given you a structure that says stealing is a really bad idea, and I don't want you to do it. When you're in traffic, you never have to ask God whether it is appropriate for you to get out of the car to drag somebody who cut you off out of their car and to hit them. God will go, no, that is not part of my will, because I do not want you to do that to people. You never have to wonder about the things that God has put into place that are part of His moral will. So let's start there. If you, in your life, do not know God's word, you do not know what the moral will of God is, you do not know what the pool fences are, you do not know His commands, and you have no idea what God requires of your life as far as a big picture is concerned, then you cannot possibly begin to ask God, what is your will for my life in these things? It has to begin there. Many of us want to put the cart before the horse. Oh, we want to know right now what God wants for me in this circumstance, but we have put no time into determining what God's general moral will is for our lives. So, starting point, make sure that you understand God has a moral will. Number two, God has a providential will. Okay, now the providential will is different from the moral will. The moral will is the structures God puts in place for you and I to know exactly what we ought to do in terms of obeying God's commands. The providential will is God's big picture. These are the things that God does through history that has nothing to do with you or me, that you or I cannot derail even if we tried. God is going to accomplish these things. They are going to happen, and He is at work in a plan that is for the sake of His story and for the sake of history as it unfolds. The obvious things are things like Jesus is going to return. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you obey or disobey. It doesn't matter how you live. Jesus is coming back whether you like it or not. That is part of God's providential will, and He is going to accomplish it. Within that providential will, there are things that happen that are outside of our understanding. An illness might enter into a story, and you have no idea what God is doing. You don't understand why he's doing it, but something is happening, and it's not changing, and that is part of God unfolding something that we cannot imagine. Trials will come into your lives. Circumstances will knock you out from left field. All of these things happen, and when the providential will of God is unfolding in your life, these are the things that you and I don't get to say, why is this happening? We get to say, I don't know why this is happening, but I trust in you. There's nothing you're going to do that is outside of what you are unfolding in history. And sometimes your story is part of something much bigger than you can imagine. And you things happen to you and you don't understand why, but that is God's providential will unfolding in your life and him doing things beyond your control. And then, of course, God's personal will for your life. God's personal will for your life is that individual story that he is unfolding in you, and he gives you the ability to be part of that story. And that is the part of God's will that you and I so badly want to discern and so badly want to know how to unfold. So, in order to step into the personal will of God, let me give you a few tips before we step into the practicalities of that, okay? Number one, become absolutely familiar with the moral will of God, okay? That's the starting point. Simplicity. You want to know the will of God? Well, start becoming familiar with the commands that God has already placed in his word that he said, live this way. If you become familiar with God's moral will, this is the renewing of your mind. You are saying, God, I want to renew my mind by absorbing what your word has to say about what you've already told us we should and shouldn't do. And in the renewing of my mind, my life will begin to transform because I am becoming absolutely familiar with the things that you require of us. That is, Christ followers and humanity as a whole. The second thing is that you need to be prepared to surrender yourself to God's providential will and to his moral will. That is understanding that you are willing to say, God, whatever you do in my life, through my life, by my life, whatever you allow to happen as I'm traveling through my journey on this planet, I want you to know ahead of time I am ready to surrender to that. Things are going to come that are going to completely come out of left field for you. Are you willing to surrender to God's providential will? Are you willing to say, God, I will do what you say in your word, and whatever circumstances come into my life, I will surrender to the process that you are at work in my life? That is becoming a living sacrifice, presenting yourself to God and saying, look, one, I will be renewing my mind by becoming absolutely familiar with your word. Two, I will present myself as a living sacrifice, which by definition means I, my everyday life, is yours. I sacrifice it to you. Whatever you want to do in me, let's just get this straight, God, I'm willing. If you are unwilling to do either of those things, the rest of the story tonight does not apply to you because it's not going to work. Because God's will is never something that we can step into, demand from God, and then decide if we're in the mood to put it into practice. God does not present or reveal his will to us for our consideration or our contemplation. He doesn't go, here's my will for you, think about it. If you like it, do it. If you don't, well, I'll come up with something else. God presents his will to us for our obedience and surrender, period. God does not demonstrate his will to us so we can think about it. He gives it to us so we can obey it. And if he has already given us his moral will and he's revealing his providential will in our lives and we are unwilling to surrender to those and unwilling to obey those, then why on earth would God begin a process of revealing to us a story in our own lives when we're not even putting into practice the very things that he's made abundantly clear in his word? This all comes back down to conversation with God. You can't have conversation with God if you don't know his word. You can't know the will of God if you don't know his word. So tonight, if you don't know God's word, then that's a great starting point for you. Start digging in. Now, let's just assume that you are becoming familiar with God's moral will. You are digging into his word and you are starting to put into practice the things you discover. And let's assume for a moment that you are surrendering to his providential will. You're willing here tonight to say, whatever God brings into my life, I'm ready. He can bring it. I'm ready to jump in. I'll surrender to it. Then we can step into a world where we can approach God and say, all right, God, now I would love to know what it is today that you have for me that you want me to step into, what it is this week, what it is this month, what it is this year. I want to know what it is you have for me. That is the ability to begin to test and approve what God's will is. Not the kind of testing to make sure his will is good for you, but the kind of testing that says, I am going to figure out what it is so that I can do it. And we begin to test and approve God's will for our lives as he allows us to know his word and surrender to him and his providential will. So how is it that we step in and test the will of God? In other words, discover it, discern it. How do we do that? Well, I have come up with a way in my life, and I'll tell you, you always know when something is a structure that really works when you've done it years and years ago, and you've had it put it into practice, and every time you revisit it, you change nothing. And you kind of go, well, I think this thing's pretty much good. This message that I'm giving you right now, I put this message together years and years ago. And every now and then when I come back to revisit it, I pull it out, I read through the whole thing, and I go, what needs to change in this? Because surely some things need to change. And I always add stuff to it. But at the end of the day, the things I'm about to walk through have been a process that's been in my life for years and years, and it continues to prove itself to be a process that allows me to discern the will of God, assuming ahead of time that I am putting first the two things we just talked about into practice. I am familiar with his moral will, and I'm surrendering to his providential will. You with me? So here are the steps. These steps you will not find in the Bible lined out in a passage of Scripture, but these steps are all biblical. In other words, every one of these steps you will find in the Scripture saying you should do this. And I'm going to walk you through these steps, and I'm going to show you how I discern the will of God in my own life after I have become familiar with his moral will and surrendered to his providential will. The very first thing that I do is that I step into a world when there's a decision to make, when there's something I'm looking at. The very first thing I do is that I check the plumb line. That's what I call it, check the plumb line. Do you guys know what a plumb line is? Who knows what a plumb line is? Okay, a few of you guys, right? For those of you that don't, it's this really cool thing that builders use, and the way I've seen it used is they take a little weight, they put it on the end of a string, and they let the weight settle, and when it settles, it gives you a perfect line, and that is the plumb line. And when you build, if you build without a plumb line, everything ends up skewed. So the plumb line is critical to the builder, because if you don't start on the plumb line, everything you do from that point on is off-center. And if it's off-center, you're off. So when it comes to the will of God, if you do not check the plumb line first, everything you do from here on out will be off-center. This is the most critical thing to step into. What do you think the plumb line is that we use? God's word. Man, you guys are on it tonight. In the book of, I'm just going to read a couple of verses, so just sit back and relax. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, in verse 105, this is what it says. I'm almost there. Psalm 119, 105. Listen to this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You are on a journey in this life. And if you want to discern the will of God for your personal life, as you step into any decision, check the plumb line first. Thomas Burton once said this, I love this quote, he said this, we receive enlightenment only in proportion as we give ourselves more completely to God by humble submission and love. We do not see first and then act. We act and then see. And that is why the man or woman who waits to see clearly before he or she will believe never starts on the journey. In other words, what he's saying is this, that at the end of the day, if you are unwilling to plant yourself into the plumb line and to dig in and to say, let me make sure here in this plumb line that I am enlightened by what God is doing and what by God is saying as I consider and contemplate what God is giving me, you will never be able to walk a straight line with God. The plumb line is the most critical part of the equation. Now, I want to say something at this point in the story. As we go through the steps here, understand that these steps, by definition, only keep going if the answer doesn't become clear, okay? So, if you examine the plumb line, you've got a decision to make, right? You've got to do something. You're thinking about, God, should I, you know, someone was just mean to me, and I'm wondering whether I should forgive them. I'm not sure, because I don't feel like I should forgive them, because they deserve to have me not forgive them. I'm going to check the plumb line. So I dig in, and it turns out one of God's moral wills is that what we ought to do? Forgive how many times? Basically forever. I mean, we ought to forgive people no matter what. So then you read that and you go, okay, now, do I need to go to step two? No. Why would I go to step two when I've just discerned the will of God? I mean, I know what God's will is now. Now I put it into practice. When you check the plumb line, if it gives you the answer directly, then you can stop right there. You've discerned God's will. Now your only job is to surrender to God's will and to put it into practice, right? Now, one other thing I just got to say here, and you hear this at Mosaic all the time, okay? You can make this thing say whatever you want, all right? It's beautiful. I mean, you can go in, you can pull verses out that will literally, if you just pull that verse right out of the passage and you don't look at any of the verses around it, it could literally tell you that it's okay to go out and sin. I mean, you could make this thing say whatever you want. So checking the plumb line only works if you are, again, already surrendered to the fact that you want to obey God. If you are looking at this process as a way to get to do whatever you want, you already know what God kind of wants you to do, but you want to figure out if there's a way out, let me tell you something. You have to dig into this, learning to understand it in its context, in its completion. God's word is not something you just jump into and pull something out. If you don't understand God's word, find someone who does, and as you have to make decisions, call them and say, I'm checking the plumb line, I'm not sure if I found anything. Do you know anything in God's word that might say something about X, Y, and Z? And then allow that to become a guide for you. Because it is very important to understand that if you're looking in the plumb line to see what God will tell you to do, you have to look at it in its accuracy and in its completion and in its context. I sit with people all the time, and they look at me over a coffee table, and they say to me, I really feel like God wants me to do this. I really feel like this is what God wants for me. Yeah, you know, I see it very often. I see it in certain circumstances all the time. One of those circumstances is in the dating world. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always sitting with somebody who's dating somebody else, and they look at me and they say, look, I know the person that I'm dating is not a believer. They don't know Christ, and they have no desire to know Christ, but I really prayed about it, and I really feel like God said to me, on this particular case, you should date this person. And I look at them and I say, clearly, you have not examined the plumb line. See, because God is never, I want you to hear this from me, he is never going to ask you to do something that he's already told you in his word not to do. And he is never going to tell you not to do something that he's already told you in his word you always need to do. God will never tell you that you should not forgive somebody. He will never tell you that it's okay in this particular occasion to use words that will break them down instead of building them up. God will never tell you that in this particular case it's okay to lie, steal, and kill. In other cases, it's not, but in your case, you are the exception to the rule. Examining the plumb line is the most important step in the process. And when God has told you there what to do, stop there and do it. Now, let's say you jump in. You're trying to decide between two schools, right? Should I go to this school or that school? You dig into the plumb line. All right, God, what do you have to say about schools? And you find that in the back of your Bible where they give you all the neat words, and you look for, you know, a University of Central Florida, and it's just not in there. Just not in there. So you look for the other university you want to go to up in Wisconsin, and it's not in there either. So then you dig in and you try to figure out if God has anything to say about universities, and he just doesn't. So you go, okay, the plumb line has not either disqualified me from my decision, nor has it told me that I need to do this. What is the next step if the plumb line has left you in a place of freedom where you can continue to discern. Well, my next step has always been that before I continue on down the journey, I examine my heart. I go back to examining my heart. Here's why I do this, okay? I examine my heart because I know that my tendency, if I haven't found something in the plumb line, is now going to be to try and navigate freedom into God's will to do what I want to do instead of continuing down a process to seek out what God has for me. So I want to check first, God, am I certain that I'm familiar with your moral will, that I'm submitted to that, that I'm okay with your providential will, and wherever you want to lead me, I'm willing to go? Because if I'm trying to navigate this one to land somewhere where I wanted to land, maybe I've already missed something in your plumb line because I'm really interested in doing it my way. So in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, there's a beautiful verse, and it says, trust in the Lord always and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I kind of go back to that verse and I go, okay, God, am I leaning on my own understanding here? Am I looking for a way to get this thing done my way? Or am I willing to lean on your understanding and trust you? I always examine my heart and make sure that I am willing to trust God no matter what he reveals about his will. Let me just say that one more time. I always check to make sure that I am willing to trust God with his will no matter what he reveals to me. Because most of us are not. Once I've done that and I am secure in the fact that I really want to know God's will and I want to do it his way, my next step is simple. I examine the spiritual consequences of all the decisions ahead of me. I ask myself this question, God, will one of these decisions lead me into a deeper relationship with you, into greater intimacy with you, or will one of these decisions lead me further from you? In other words, will it cause me to derail in some way in my journey? Paul writes in the book of Philippians, and he says that I consider all things a loss in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, right? My bent in life is to know Christ Jesus my Lord. That is the thing I want more than anything else. And remember that when you are working on God's will is about one thing at the end of the day. It is about your intimacy with your Father. It is about your intimacy with God. God's will is to drive you into a deeper surrender and a deeper trust in God. Sometimes that will comes at you to test you. What does James say? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it is the testing of your faith that develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, whatever God is at work in your life, it is to drive you into deeper intimacy with you. So I ask myself this question, God, is there an obvious consequence to either decision or to this decision that would either drive me into deeper intimacy with you or drive me further from you? If at that point something becomes abundantly clear and I go, wow, I mean, if I follow this path, it is going to drive me into greater intimacy with God. That is abundantly clear. And this path is definitely going to make it very difficult to stay really, really close to God. Then that decision becomes much clearer to me. Now, this is probably the one exception in the steps that I have that I don't simply make a decision here if that becomes clear. I always go to step 4 if I've gotten to step 3, okay? If something becomes abundantly clear, my step 4 is seek wise counsel. The Bible is full of wise counsel. It tells us all over the place, seek wise counsel. If 3 does not answer your question, so you're saying, God, should I go to the mission field in China or should I go to the mission field in Africa? I'm really not sure. Where should I go and serve you? And you examine them and you go, either way, I'm going to just be heading into pouring my life out for God and being intimate with him. Then I go to step 4, which is seek wise counsel. If, on the other hand, I go, okay, God, should I go to party school over here or Bible college over here? And I go, I'm feeling like Bible college might draw me into deeper intimacy with God. But just to double check, I'm going to go and seek some wise counsel. So either way, from step 3, I always go to step 4. Now, let me just say something about wise counsel for a second, okay? Wise counsel are generally not your friends. They're generally not your friends. Sometimes they are, but generally not. Generally, the people that love you deeply and just want the best for you, if you go and tell them, you know, I really kind of want to go here, but I kind of feel like God might be telling me to go, what do you think? Oh, no, no. If your heart says you're in it, you got to jump. Don't go and find those people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. Most of the time, your wise counsel, you already know going into the meeting what they're going to tell you. And you kind of don't want to hear it. And if you're there, then we're back to step one, aren't we? That you're not ready to surrender to the will of God. So then you're not really seeking God's will, in which case you're not going to know God's will. Your wise counsel are the people in your life that you know, no matter how hard it is for them, they will tell you the truth. They will do it in love, but they will tell you the truth. They will genuinely pray about it. They will genuinely seek it with you. And they will genuinely tell you what they think about where you should be. And they will risk themselves and risk their relationship with God in sharing it with you what's true and risk their relationship with you. In other words, from my perspective, I will go to God, I will pray to Him and say, God, my friend Susie's asked me for some wise counsel. Please reveal to me what it is that you want her to do in this. And I will go back to her if I feel like God's done that. And I will risk what God has revealed to me to her. I will say, I really feel like God wants you to do this, even though it may risk my friendship with her. Make sense? Your wise counsel are the people that will always tell you the truth. And they'll do it from a perspective of biblical wisdom. Find those people. Mark them. Put them into your favorites. And whenever you need them, go and seek them out. That's step four. If after my wise counsel I seek, and I usually seek a variety of wise counsel, let's say there's four or five people I call, and all four or five of them are like, oh, this is a no-brainer. It's B. Go to B. If all of them agree on that, and I already felt in three that that seemed to be one of the options, then what do? Do I go on from there? No. I trust my wise counsel. I trust that by this time, God will have revealed to me in His plumb line. If it wasn't a good idea, He would have shown me in other ways. My wise counsel all agree, great. Now, what if you have one of these circumstances? You call six people. Three of them say, I think B is the way to go. And three of them say, really prayed about it, and I feel like A is the way to go. It happens. It does happen, which generally tells me that both are a really good idea. Because my wise counsel would have shut one of them down if they felt like they needed to. But they're all feeling like, you know, just go for it. Then my step five is that I seek clarity of heart. In the book of James in chapter 1, God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, come and ask of me, and I will give it generously to anyone who asks. Then he goes on, but when you come and ask, do not doubt. Because if you're a doubter, then you're like a person blown in the sea, and you're a person that's double-minded. And people always come to me about that verse, and they say, oh my gosh, Renaud, how do I ask for wisdom without doubting? Because, you know, I don't want to ask for wisdom and be doubting. What if I doubt, then God doesn't give it to me? Then you misunderstand that verse. God is not saying that if you doubt, I won't give you wisdom. He's saying, when I give it to you, if you don't obey it, that's doubt. In other words, if you come and say, God, what should I do? And I show you, and then you go, oh, no, that's not the answer I was thinking. I'm going to go ahead and do it this way. Then you are double-minded, and you are a man that will be blown in the wind back and forth. But if you come and you ask, God will give generously to anyone who asks. But then make sure you don't doubt when God has given you wisdom. If you have gotten all the way to step five, that means you've already sought His word, you've sought your wise counsel, you've examined your heart, you've done all that. Now at this point, you say to God, God, it seems like this decision across the board is, there's nothing stopping one way or the other. Can you just give me a real sense of peace about one or the other, or about this decision, or can you give me a real sense of discontent? Because I've already sought out your word. Now listen, just a little point here. Whatever you do, do not go to step five if you haven't done step one, two, three, and four, okay? People do this all the time to me. Oh man, I went and asked God for peace, and He gave me a real peace about this. And I go, yeah, but you didn't check the plumb line. That already told you not to do it. You can't go and ask for peace about something if God's already told you not to do it. You don't get that luxury. That's like saying God will reveal His will to me for my consideration and contemplation, and then I'll decide if I like it or not. So again, let me just be clear. You don't get to do step five if you haven't done step one, two, three, and four. Okay? This does not work that way. You don't get to go, I like Renaud's step number seven. Reflect and listen and then do whatever you feel. That doesn't work that way. You gotta work your way through. If you seek clarity of heart and you're still sitting there going, wow, I mean, I feel like God's just saying it doesn't matter. Do any of them. They're all good. Then I go to step six, which is I reflect and listen. Why do I do that? See, this is like step two. I just go back to saying, God, maybe I've been anxious here to kind of get this done. So I'm just going to stop and I'm going to give it some time. I'm going to just reflect and listen. God, are we on the same page here? I mean, just to clarify, the plumb line, there's nothing in there, right? Okay. And my wise counsel, I kind of go back and I clarify everything. I just stop. I reflect. I listen. And if nothing changes then, I present my final surrender. This is where I present myself to the providential will of God. I say, God, I feel like you've told me I can go either direction or I can do this thing that I feel like I need to do. If for some reason I've missed the boat somewhere in the first step, six steps, and you don't want me to do this, would you do me a favor? Would you shut the doors so I can't go there? So for instance, I say, God, I think I'm just going to go ahead and go to the University of Central Florida because I feel like you've given me green light across the board on the three choices. But if for some reason I'm wrong, if for some reason I've missed it, you know that my heart is to do what you want. So if I'm wrong, close that door and I'll take that as your providential will and I'll go to the other one. If I'm not wrong, then leave the door open and I'm going to run and I'm going to jump. And if God does not shut the door at that point, then in my eighth step is very simple. I confidently make a decision, and I do what I need to do, and I don't question it. Now, let me just be clear. Most of my life, I've never done all eight steps because I usually figure it out long before step seven. But there are occasions when it takes me all eight steps, but that only happens when I've already surrendered my heart to God's providential will and to God's moral will. If I'm not surrendered there, I'm already dead in the water on all these steps. Because if you're not willing to surrender to God's moral will, when you check the plumb line and you discover God has something to say, you will ignore it. You will figure out a way around it. So let me just be clear again. God's will is not complicated. It is not complex. But it is not easy because it requires a surrender of soul to God. I want to tell you guys something in closing this idea out. God is not about the business of whispering from heaven to try and get our attention, desperately hoping that we will hear him, but most of the time, he's just not loud enough. People think this all the time. They sit around and they go, I just so badly want to hear God's voice, but what if I do it wrong? What if I make the wrong decision? And I always tell people, the God I serve does not sit in heaven and go, man, I tried so hard to tell them, I really did, but I just couldn't get through. And they so badly wanted to do it my way, but somehow I just wasn't strong enough, big enough, or powerful enough to let them know. And so they derailed their lives, went off the deep end and died, despite the fact that they so badly wanted to do it my way. That is not the God I serve. The God I serve shows up with angels and donkeys and weird people and human beings and all sorts of stuff. And he goes, listen, this is what I want. The God I serve has revealed himself so clearly through the scriptures that there is no question in black and white what he desires for your life. In so many areas that if you just spent the rest of your life discerning the moral will of God, that'll keep you so busy you won't be interested in his personal will for you. Because there's so much to discern in here. The God I serve is not silent. He is not wishing and hoping he can get through to you. If you are not in the will of God, you are living in disobedience willfully and completely. You are saying, I already know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not willing to do it. You have not surrendered. And that could come in many forms. Maybe you've decided it's pointless to get to know God's word. Well, then don't be surprised if you find yourself in all sorts of swimming pools at the bottom of the water having a hard time breathing. Because God has already said to you, I'll show you how to protect yourself from that, but if you're not willing to know my word, well then, at that point, me revealing myself to you seems kind of silly, doesn't it? So, the God I serve is in control. As you step into discerning the will of God, let me tell you this. Know this. Be willing up front to understand that God is God. And that he is good, and that he loves you. and that he wants what's best for you, and that whatever he's told you in his word and whatever he's going to reveal to you through his word and through the wise counsel of those who know his word will be in your best interest. How do I know that? Romans 12 starts this way. Therefore, dear brothers, I urge you in what? View of God's mercy. If you do not believe that God is good and that he is merciful and that he has your best interest in mind, you're already dead in the water because you won't trust him. You won't trust his providential will for your life. You won't trust his moral will for your life, and you certainly will not trust his personal will for your life. You'll pick and choose. But if you know that he is good, it doesn't matter what he brings into your life, you will trust him. And as you trust him in view of his mercy, you know that he's good, you know that he loves you. The second step is to surrender. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then don't conform, that's his moral will, to the patterns of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and surrender yourself as a living sacrifice to his providential will. And then put into practice the steps that I've given you after you've done those things. And there will not be a day, not a day, that you won't know what to do. Because you'll confidently walk into every decision knowing, God, I have tested and approved what your God, what your will is. And I've been willing to surrender to it this whole time. Now, all you need to do is go and put it into practice. And let me tell you something. I live in an incredible freedom. I really do. I'm actually blown away every morning by the freedom in which I live. Every area of my life that is not in freedom, I can distinctly point to you exactly where I've decided to ignore the will of God. My freedom is not in any way restricted because I can't figure his will out. It is only restricted in the areas that I figured it out and I disobey it. I usually do that with my wife. He tells me how I'm supposed to treat her. I don't. Leads to some disaster zones. He tells me how to treat her. I do it. It leads to incredible freedom. And that's true in every area of life. Do not wonder whether you know the will of God. Just ask yourself, are you taking the time to test and approve it, to submit to it, and to obey it? And you will live a life of freedom. Let's pray together. Lord God, I am so grateful for verses like Romans 12, 1 and 2, where you make it so plain to us how we are to know what it is you require of us, what it is you want from us. God, thank you that you've told us in your word that you have a plan for us, a story that you are unfolding in each of our lives. But I realize as I get older, Lord, every day, that submitting myself to your providential will and to your moral will is such a large part of that story. And the little bit that's left, the part you are revealing to me about the day-to-day things, most of them, God, are born out of your moral and providential will anyways. But for the few things where there are decisions to be made that don't apply to those two areas, God, you give us such a beautiful process in your word. So many wonderful things that we can put into practice that allow us to clearly discern what it is you want. God, help us to make our decisions confidently after we have traveled through a testing and approving of your will. And help us to walk into them boldly, knowing that you are a God that is good and a God that loves us. And God, when you reveal something to us that's kind of a bummer, it seems to rob us of the things we desire, remind us that your desires for our life are far, far, far greater than ours are for our own lives. That your story is far bigger and that your freedom is far greater. Help us to walk in your freedom, not leaning on our own understanding, but instead acknowledging you in all that we do and trusting in you. And I know, God, that you will make our path straight before us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.